I am the Lord. Yes, the role in acting is also supreme. So just like an ordinary actor may show emotions, cry the sentiments and so forth, but it's not the same as an ordinary person show sentiments for his dying mother or brother. Similarly to the Lord, he's acting in his role as a human being and showing his sentiments, but yet this supreme position still exists today. This has been asserted by the principal demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Ishvara, Parama, Krishna, Krishna, and others. It's stated here that Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, supreme control. His body is Sachid Ananda Vigraha, see, ever blissful. And he's not affected by, in other words, even though he is the supreme, even though he's acting as a human, he still is. This also being profusely or being copiously explained by the sages. Asita, Jas, Narada. See? This has been confirmed by Arjuna. See? You are the supreme Ishvara. And this has been enunciated by the Lord himself. Bhata Parabrahma Nityasya Sridhan. There is no truth superior to me. Bhijam Sarva Bhutanam. I am the seed of all existence. Maya Yakshena Prakriti. The whole world is what? The whole material world is working under my direction. Pitam Asya Jakto. I'm the father, the grand, I'm the father, the mother, the grandchild of the whole universe. Aham Sarvasya Prabhu. I'm the source of all material and spiritual world. Vedaham Samachitani. I know the past, present and future. Of all the Vedas I am to be known. So his supreme position has been explained by him, by the sages, by the demigods, by the devotees. So there is no mistake in this. There is, and so his acting should not be considered ordinary. And if you look at this, if you look at the verses, the verse before that, there's very interesting. It stated, Evam Vyanti Rajarshis. Such is the account given by some sages, O wise king. But those who speak in this illogical way are contradicting themselves, having forgotten their own previous statements. And the previous statement was, by nature of Krishna's full knowledge, and he possesses unlimited power of perception. Yet for a moment, so this is the part. By nature, the Lord Krishna is full of knowledge and he possesses unlimited power of perception. So the sages say that this has been contradicted now, since he's been affected by these emotions or what's happening. But the Lord is not at all affected. And these emotions, sentiments affect the limit of things. And Arjuna was placed in this position so that Bhagavad Gita would be a conduit to the war. See? The whole war is in lamentation, family attachment, bewilderment, and fear. See? And so Arjuna was placed in this position so that Bhagavad Gita can be exploited. And if the expounder of the Bhagavad Gita, if he's given all his knowledge, how can he himself be put in this position? It's not possible. He is the profounder of the Bhagavad Gita. So that's not possible. But let us look a minute at what the position that Arjuna was placed in. And then the same position we also are placed in. It's stated here, Tam Tata Kupaya Visham Asu Purya Pure Sham. Sing Arjuna full of compassion and very sorrowful, Madhusudana's quote. So this is the second chapter. And the whole second chapter speaks about lamentation and so forth. And states here, Srila Prabhupada writes, material compassion, lamentation, and tears are signs of ignorance. You see? So he wrote in the proper to that course also. And then it stated within the proper there it was said that explanation of proper explains. When a man is drowning and you grab the coat, grab his coat, when a man still drowns, what you do? So similarly we take care of the material body all the time, nicely, see? But we fail it to take care of the spirit, the soul, you see? So the example is given here, within that verse. And then it's also said, Krishna dissipates Arjuna's ignorance and ours also. And this is the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Yenu asmini yatadi kamarani yorvanta. As the embodied soul passes from this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes from another body of death. The realized person is not bewildered by such a change. Okay? So this knowledge is for all of us, it's supreme. And then within that, Srila Prabhupada explained, like for example, Bhishma and Drona. Arjuna was lamenting about them. Bhishma and Drona. Well, you know, they be killed. But Krishna says that they are exalted persons. And it's either they will get a spiritual body, or they will go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. So why not? There's no problem. For one who is taken God, death is certain. And for one who is dead, God is certain. So why am I in heaven? So that's it. Avyaktadini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata. All means are unmanifest. Manifest, and then unmanifest again. So why am I? So the second chapter, the Lord is dispelling Arjuna's lamentation constantly. Why are you lamenting? And he explains the supreme nature of the soul. So the conditioned living entities, when they fall into the bodily concept, then all these things happen to them, bewilderment, material attachment, lamentation. A great example of material attachment was the story of Chitraketu. Chitraketu happened And so he prayed to the great sages. Narada and was it Asura? Angira. Right, Angira. Angira. He prayed to the great sages. But because he was so bent on having a child, that the sages could not dispel his illusions. And so they gave him the child. See? But then the stepmothers, they became envious and they eventually poisoned the child. See? And, but then the sages came back and then they started to explain transcendental knowledge to him, because at this moment, the scripture. You know, like when everything is smooth and nice for us, we don't want to listen to that. But as soon as something bad happens to us, we're ready to listen. You know? One time my son was wrapping up with me, and I said, be careful, something will happen. And shortly after, another car hits his car. Immediately he ran to me. You know, immediately, that was the very day, you know. So, you know, only when we're in a distressful position we listen, or it's easier to listen. But when we're in a happy mood, we don't want to listen to good language. Well, except like special people, but usually that's because of this material world. You see, unless something happens to us, we don't want to listen. You see? And so, in Chitraketu's case, he was not ready to listen to the beginning, but when his son died, he was ready. And the sage explained that life is like a drifting wood. A wood is drifted in the ocean, and sometimes it comes to this beach or that beach, or it flows into the ocean or whatever. Or it comes with all wood. So similarly, we, at this point, come with certain family members. But then, eventually, we'll be drifted apart again. See, we'll be drifted apart. Never seeing one another again. See? And so the Narada, with his mystic powers, brought the child back to life. And let it expound philosophical knowledge, transcendental knowledge to Chitraketu. And there he explains, I've had many, many father and mother in the past. So many. Which one are you? Yeah? Which one are you? I've had so many father and mother and brother and sister, friends and so forth. You're just only a drop of them. Why should I be attached to it? And so then the child, and with that knowledge, this Chitraketu changed his position. Changed his position with his upper knowledge. So this is a great example of material attachment. I'm bewildered. The whole world is bewildered in this body concept. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a child, I'm a governor, I'm a president, I'm this, I'm that. The world, totally. You see, that totally bothered. And it's born like that. But gradually, virtue is coming. See? And if one does not take to the process, then he goes through back a vicious cycle of repeated part, death, foliage, disease. And that's not all. One revolves in the cycle of going to the hellish planet, going to the heavenly planet, coming back to the other planet, going to the animal kingdom, come to the human kingdom. Go to the Ganga kingdom, the world, and protect yourself. It becomes a vicious cycle of envy. And so, devotees, that our understanding is very clear of this material world. It's a temporary place. And we should make the best of this bad bargain, take to the process of Krishna consciousness as seriously as possible. And help others go back to spiritual world. Right now we're seeing the equivalent of the materials. Not only the materials. The so-called wise materials, like the scientists and the educators and so forth, they all have so much illusion. What Lord Krishna says, Ajanti Mam Muda Marushim Sanamashita. Who is deriving when I descend in human form? They do not know my transcendental nature and my supreme dominion over all that be. They derive a supreme order. The scientists, especially, in fact, they try to prove that he does not exist in so many ways. So many ways. And this is catching on. It's like an aspirin. And it's catching on with the others. You see? Nobody. Everything is from my evolution. Most of the ideas, you look at the documentaries. We've evolved so many million years, or came to Big Bang, and so forth. And that is catching on. And when that catches on, everyone becomes complacent to self-realization. And they become staunch followers of the material progress in life. Material values. And so, this is the last great chance for the world to take up this process for the next 10,000 years. Otherwise, everything will be chaos. And so, our role is to try to dispel these illusions. Try to bring the world back to some sanity. Because the whole world is in a somewhat insane position. And we are living in geo cancer, body cancer. There was some last point here stated that. How can that be ascribed to the infinite Supreme Lord, whose perception, knowledge, and power are all somewhat infinite? So the infinite can be what? Everlasting, infinite, finite is limited, unlimited Supreme Lord is unlimited. Knowledge is unlimited perception. See? So these traits of lamentation and hankering and fear cannot be ascribed to the Supreme Lord. He is supreme now and he is supreme always. He is never diminished in whatever role he is acting. And so we have to always keep this in mind and know that he is supreme always. I'll stop here if there is any comment or question. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, I was wondering in this case, are we saying that Krishna's lamentation, bewilderment was spiritual, or he had also spiritual lamentation, bewilderment? And then, including, he was also had experience of spiritual quality, bewilderment, and lamentation. And if so, how do we distinguish between the material and the spiritual?
Okay, well, yeah, so Krishna's Krishna's lamentation, because he's a personal soul, he can lament spiritually.
He can develop spiritually.
But it's not the same. It's not the same like the ordinary person lamentation of the widow. And of course, that one, the other one was the transcendentalist lamentation and so forth, like a devotee dies and another devotee lamented. It's not the same like ordinary person. Even though the devotee is lamenting, but he knows that his brother is going back to the spiritual world, or he's coming back as a devotee to the Guru. But it's not the same like the ordinary materialist. He has no clue what he's doing. Maybe you're going to lament by the book, straight to hell. The Guru is actually just grabbing him, you see? And there's a bulk of difference. Even in spiritual lamentation, it stays in the stage of Vipralamba. That brings like great joy. You see? When Ram was lamenting to see for the gopis for the supreme, that stage is called Vipralamba. You see? And so even though you're lamenting, that lamentation is very important. And I don't know if I touch so much in one, but I don't know how to do it.
I was thinking that there's the external and the internal one. So we gradually learn to distinguish one from the other. So this external energy is also called the mind. Mind, things are created. So that's, we're coming out of that from the process of understanding. Gradually, we see that. So we see that Krishna, he's a jiva. So he's never under that mind. That's the kind of prerequisite, so it's always nice
to see. Yeah, he's under the open eye opens. And so you know, his symptoms, whatever he's doing is not the same. Any other point?
Most of Jewish people. They are and the believers are compelling in the world. And Shiva will talk about with I and me. When someone dies, we have rest in peace. And he said that there is no peace for those who are materialistic. Because their knowledge is not spiritual and plain, therefore they cannot be happy. They can have all the facilities of the world, they have all the evidences, but they cannot rest in peace. There is no rest in peace for a normal person. But if the world is, they can actually rest in
peace. That's right.
Because they have spiritual knowledge.
For them, for the one that's living, there is no rest in peace. But for the one that's dead, there is no rest in peace. Because if you read the journey of the soul to the hellish planet, when Lord Krishna was explaining to Garuda about the journey of the soul to the hellish planet, Garuda was screaming like this. Garuda, the carrier, the supreme carrier, who called himself one of the strongest in the world, he was screaming when he heard about the journey of the soul to the hellish planets. You see, you don't believe. So they don't know, what's awakening. You see, the kill of animals, for example, they will be boiled by the other animals. You get so many things, you see. That by itself is a whole class, not a whole class, but a whole book by itself. Any other point? Nothing?
Also, it seems that the devotees, when there is separation, because the devotee's life is centered around Krishna, and not, whereas materialists, their lives are centered around that person, or some persons, and when that person is separated from them, then there is great suffering. For the devotee, they have Krishna always, and they never be separated from Krishna.
Our lamentation is because of the situation. Okay? Any other problem? Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.